And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Football is here. That's right. Football is back, ladies and gentlemen. And here comes the football preview from the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino. I'm here with Kevin. I'm here with Darren. Guys, you ready to talk a little football tonight? Please
ready.
Listen to us. Oh, sure.
Like and subscribe. Follow us on Facebook. Send us some posts, some thoughts, some questions. Tonight, we're going to talk about the upcoming season. We got some storylines to talk about, division and conference predictions. We're going to talk some MVP odds. We're going to talk some over-unders. I'm going to lead it off with a little just NFL storylines. We got some rule changes going into effect this year. We got running back issues all over the place. We got issues in New York. We got a couple of unsigned players. One of them got rectified today. Rookie QBs are all over the place. We got overseas games going to two countries this year. Let's start it off with some rule changes just to give everybody a kind of overview here. NFL made some rule changes. A couple of them are really not huge on the field issues. They're more off the field issues. So teams can carry a third quarterback that's not against the roster limit this year. And 12 of the 32 teams have a third QB on their 53-man roster as it is right now. The NFL decided to make the flex options a little bit bigger this year so they can flex out of games in weeks 12 to 17 for Mondays, 13 to 17 for Thursdays. They're all over the place with this. They got a lot of broadcast partners. They got to make everybody happy. NBC, CBS, Fox, ABC, ESPN, Amazon Prime, YouTube TV. They got everybody going all over the place. We get a Black Friday game this year, guys.
It's a Jet game.
I know you're both excited. Miami at the Jets at 3 o'clock. Fair catches is the big one, the on the field. Any kickoffs inside the 25 automatically getting marked at the 25 now. They allowed all these players to wear zero as a jersey number. And the QB push is legal. And tripping is a personal foul. They got a couple of others. Nothing really else that comes up. Order review after failed fourth downs. No review for roughing the passer. And the helmet rule is now referred to as unnecessary roughness. Darren, any comments on any of the rule changes?
Well, I mean, the kickoff thing I don't love, but you could kick it a high and short, and the guy automatically gets a 25. They're trying to save injuries. I get it. I don't necessarily love it, but that's the way it goes. The quarterback thing makes sense. The penalty type stuff, there was nothing really crazy with any of the penalties that I thought was, anything really egregious. I don't know. Just for the most part, it's become a made-for-TV league. If they don't have the primetime game, the matchup that they want, and we're fans too. We don't want to watch a crap game. We want to watch good games too. So it's always going to be about pleasing their partners, and that's all that they're trying to do. And that's pretty much what it's come down to. The Jets just got an interception. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But it's more and more, like you said, Gino, 17 different networks. There's 38, everybody's involved. It's really three countries if you count Mexico. I mean, they're playing all over the place. Well, there was no Mexico
this year.
Yeah, there was a Mexico City, I thought. I thought there was a Mexico City this year.
Not this year.
I think Kansas City's playing in it, dude. Maybe I'm wrong.
The Germany game replaces the Mexico game this year.
Ah, I thought they were playing all three. Either way, most of the rules didn't really mean much, except for that kickoff to the 25 and having the third quarterback.
All right. We got rookie QBs all over the place this year.
And QBs all over starting in new places.
Yeah.
And a lot of changes at the quarterback position.
I mean, just a lot of rookies all over the place to begin with, it feels like. Richardson in Indianapolis, Bryce Young in Carolina, Stroud in Houston. We got running backs like Bijan in Atlanta, Gibbs in Detroit. We got wide receivers like Addison in Minnesota and Zay Flowers in Baltimore. We got tight ends all over the place. It feels like this is like the tight end renaissance this year with all these rookies. Any comments about any of these rookie guys?
I'm not a fan of Robinson. I don't think he's accurate. I mean, I know he runs like a deer. And Richardson at Indy. I don't think he's accurate. I don't think he's going to be a very good quarterback. That's just my take on him. I think that, you know, Young and Stroud have a chance to be pretty good. Both teams are rebuilding. I mean, all three teams really are, you know, when you look at that. I expect Stroud to be the best of the three. I just think he has the most potential of big play, more so than Bryce Young, even though Young is very accurate.
Okay.
I think all three of us, if I remember right, all three of us really liked – I think we all thought Stroud was probably a little better prospect than Young.
I think the size.
So do I. I think we're all in agreement with that. Yeah, we're all in agreement with that fact.
Just remember, you're ahead of me, Kev.
I know.
Sorry, guys. This as the Jets are playing on Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills.
I still haven't seen the play yet, so don't say a freaking word. Anyway,
I guess we'll go right to the Jets right now.
Absolutely. We'll start wherever you'd like to, sir.
A lot of hype around this team. A lot of hype around Aaron Rodgers being here. We've all seen he played three plays and was taken out because of a foot injury tonight. Kev, tell me about your optimism for this New York Jets team.
I was flying high till about three plays into the Jets season. My gosh. This franchise just feels so damn cursed. I mean, you know, we all saw the preseason. We all saw Hard Knocks. You had to love everything Aaron Rodgers was bringing to the team. Then opening... And like I said, we're recording this Monday night. We watch it opening night, and here comes Aaron Rodgers with the American flag running through the tunnel of the players, everything, the spotlight on him and the flag coming in and everything else. And that stadium was rocking. And so far, you know, the early second quarter, Breece Hall has broken off two big rushes already.
He's already over 100.
He looks like he might be fully recovered from his. Yeah.
They still got to bring him back slowly here, though, Kev. You don't want him going
no doubt
yet. So
you want him, you want Breece Hall to get about 10 to 12 touches right now for the first couple of weeks and make sure Cook is the bell cow for the first month.
Yeah.
And then start to increase Hall's play workload. And now we've got Zach Wilson ready to step in for Aaron Rodgers. Let's see if he's learned anything from Aaron in the one off season.
We'll see.
You know the defense is still going to be great. Defense, I mean, last year was great, and I think a year together, they've got the band back together. Hopefully the defense can maintain what they did last year. They were top five defense. And like I said, the hope now is that Zach has done enough or learned enough or has enough wisdom imparted to him by Aaron Rodgers that he can at least be a competent quarterback for as long as he needs to replace Rodgers. We don't know anything about the extent of Rodgers' injury.
Yep.
Darren, but this is a team that, you know, let's face it, they're in.
We're just making fun of your dramatic pause.
I was going to say, They are in the toughest division in football. There's no doubt about it. The AFC East is the toughest division in football. All four teams have a legitimate chance for the playoffs, I believe. And I think the entire AFC conference as a whole is just very, very tough. And we'll see what they can do. Darren.
Well, what we saw was that the old line, which was the big question mark. There's two question marks coming in, right, for the Jets. When you look at it, we know big-time defense. We know Aaron Rodgers. We were hoping Breece Hall will be back. He's already got 100 yards rushing in the early part of the second quarter on two carries. So, I mean, he's clearly fine. We know that, you know, Garrett Wilson's a young stud at wide receiver. You know all the good things. The secondary is probably one of the best in the NFL. The things that everybody questioned was the O-line, which Dwayne Brown got beaten like a rented mule for the sack. And then Mekhi Becton went on the other side. He also gave up a hit, but I think he was just trying to chop him early, and Rodgers held onto the ball too long on that one. The other one is, you know, the backup quarterback situation. Now, I'm one that was fine with Zach, and I'll stay with it. I still think he's a more than serviceable backup quarterback in the league, and hopefully he can emerge as a regular starter in a couple of years. But fact of the matter is that those were the two things people were talking about most. Maybe depth at linebacker if you really wanted to be a nitpicker for the third. So we're already facing the two things. The left tackle got beaten really badly for the injury, and the backup quarterback is in. So that's what we're looking at as a, you know, for the Jets. And like you said, Kev, this is the best division in football. The Bills, everybody's been writing the Bills off because Cincinnati kind of wiped the floor with them in the playoffs last year. And I think everybody just kind of lost a little respect for where Buffalo is. Miami, when Tua played, was excellent last year. They weren't just good. They were really good. And since we recorded it on Monday, we got to see week one, and we'll talk more about that in the latest show. But Miami's real good, and New England's going to be feisty because of their defense all year long. So the division is really, really strong. When I go through this division, and again, we were supposed to do the show last week and we had a little technical difficulty, but I think Miami is the team that wins this division. I think the biggest addition in the whole division is Vic Fangio. For the Dolphins, I think he makes their defense better. And I think that once we are able, you know, I think the Jets will be right there. I think Buffalo's right there. And I think New England's right there. I hate saying that because I freaking hate the Dolphins with a passion. But right now, when I look at it, and it has nothing to do with anything in week one, this is the way I picked it last week. So I'm sticking with it. I think that the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills are going to be right down to the wire all the way through. Tua's health is the same as Rodgers' health, same as Josh Allen's health. If either one of those three starting quarterbacks go down, and we've already seen Rodgers get hurt, hopefully it's for a short time. We don't know. That changes the entire dynamic. New England doesn't rely as much on the quarterback. If Mac Jones goes down, I don't think it hurts them as much as the other three because they rely so much on the QB position. But if we were going to go AFC East right now, I think the Dolphins are winning the division.
Okay.
Jake?
I think this is one of the stronger divisions in football. I think three teams are going to wind up making the playoffs. I think Buffalo, the Jets, and Miami are all going to make it. I think the Jets have enough that they should be in the playoffs. I think the playoffs are within their reach this year, with or without Rodgers as we speak at this moment. But yeah, I think that's the way I see it at the moment. So,
Kev, who do you pick to win the division?
I'm afraid of Tua because of the injuries were concussions. So I think he's more susceptible to having repeat concussions. I actually had Buffalo win the division, the Jets making the playoffs. I had Miami losing not making the playoffs because of the schedule, because the AFC East plays the NFC East. Which not only do they have tough teams in their own division, now you're playing the other best division in the other conference, and they're also playing the AFC West, which would be in Kansas City, which means the Chargers. You know, two of the teams have trips to Denver, which we know with the altitude is never an easy place to play, and the Raiders is still going to be, you know, a decent team.
All right,
so I think because of the strength of schedule, I think. And the AFC East could be won with 11 wins just because of the strength of schedule, not because they're bad teams. You know, you think of good teams being 13 wins. I think 11-6 can win this division. And I think because of that, somebody's going to finish 9-7. And I thought, I'm 9-8. And I think Miami was one because of Tua was susceptible to finishing 9-8 and missing out on the playoffs.
I have right, Buffalo as the team that misses the playoffs out of the three. You have Miami. I have Buffalo.
Okay. Right, so same reason, similar reasoning, though.
Exactly the same reason. I'm going with the more. Buffalo seemed to have a little bit of the stress during the preseason between Allen and Diggs, and you just don't and Stephon Diggs is the kind of guy, and he's playing well tonight. Don't get me wrong, but he's the kind of guy that can pout and become a distraction like he was in Minnesota. And if that becomes the case, it's a totally different game. I was going off of that reasoning, even though I think Buffalo is a very good team.
Okay, so I have Buffalo winning the division. I have the Jets and Miami getting in. Kev, who do you have winning the division?
I have Buffalo.
You have Buffalo, and you have the Jets also making it?
Jets making it, yep.
Okay. And Darren, who do you have in the playoffs?
I have Miami and the Jets. Miami winning the division and the Jets making it.
Okay. Wow, we all have the Jets.
Well, we all felt that they did a lot. I mean, you know, during the offseason.
Well,
okay, moving. Let's move to the AFC North. I have Cincinnati winning the division. I have Cleveland getting a wild card. And I have Baltimore and Pittsburgh out. I will tell you, I know everybody is very high on Pittsburgh. I think they're a notch below the good teams in this league. I know everybody said they came on strong late in the year. It was late in the year. They had nothing. There was nothing going on. They were just trying to get themselves back into a playoff push. They won a couple of games. I honestly don't think Pickett is that good. We're going to see. So I have Cincinnati winning the division. I have Cleveland right behind them. I actually have Cincinnati at 12-5, and I actually have Cleveland at 11-6. I think they both are going to win 11 games. I have Pitt at 9 wins, but not even close to making the playoffs based on the way I have it in order. So, Kev, who do you like in the AFC North?
I go with Cincy.
Okay.
With Joe Burrow, despite what he showed yesterday, which we won't talk about until Wednesday, but you expect them to put up the numbers.
Subtle.
You've got Chase, you've got Higgins, you've got Mixon. I mean, they're loaded. And Burrow had a bad game. He hadn't played all training camp because of the calf injury. It showed. He was a little rusty. You'd remember last year they got off to a bad start. The year before they got off to the bad start and still came on strong at the end of the season. They are a second-half team in the last 2 years. So I think they're still very much in play to win this division. I have Baltimore finishing second. I think by talent, they were still a little bit better than Pittsburgh. I'm not sold on Cleveland yet. Deshaun Watson still has to show that he can play to that level. But surprisingly, I only have Cincinnati going from that division to the playoffs.
Okay. Aaron, what do you like in the AFC North?
I picked Cincinnati. I thought the addition of Orlando Brown was very helpful for this team, giving them the left tackle that they've needed. And they also added Irv Smith as a tight end. I thought that was, I thought that was going to be a big addition. The wide receivers are still solid. There's a lot of things to like about them. I have Baltimore second. You know, I know Lamar Jackson's been injured a lot, but I stuck with Baltimore as the two in this division. I have Pittsburgh and Cleveland coming 3 and 4 in that order. I have Cincinnati making the playoffs, and I have Baltimore making the playoffs as well. As the last team in, as the 7.
Okay. All right. That's great. AFC South. Darren, you start it.
Well, I mean, this is the easiest division to call. There's only one team in it. Jacksonville's the only team that you feel like can do anything in the South. I mean, Tennessee might be okay with the addition of Hopkins, but Jacksonville kind of checks off all the boxes. Ridley joining the receiving core with Kirk gives them another option. The old line is pretty good. The defense is solid. Not fantastic, but it's solid enough. And Trevor Lawrence is going to be a star if he isn't already. Etienne is a nice player in the backfield. Tank Bigsby can run over people with a name like Tank. You know, he certainly has that. I think it's a one team in the division makes the playoffs. I think it's just Jacksonville. So to round it out, I have Tennessee second. I have Houston third. And I have Indianapolis finishing dead last in the division.
And I also have Jacksonville winning. I'll tell you, they're going to get six games against Tennessee, Houston, Indianapolis, and then they're going to get the NFC South. And the NFC South, and they're going to get another couple of games against Carolina and some teams that probably aren't very good either. So, yeah, so I have Jacksonville winning. They are the only team I have getting in from there. Kev, do you have Jacksonville also?
I have Jacksonville also, of course, with, like you said, between Trevor Lawrence and the weapons they have, ETN. I think they've got the best quarterback in the division. I have Tennessee actually finishing second and making the playoffs as my surprise team.
Oh, nice.
I'm looking at it going, they've got Houston and Indy, of course. I think that's four wins there for those teams. I think Tannehill, assuming he's healthy, Derrick Henry.
Yep.
If he can bounce. I know there's a lot of ifs, but if Derrick Henry can bounce back, and with Hopkins added in there, now they've got the big-time receiver, and the AFC South plays the NFC South. And even though the results didn't go the way I thought they would, I think the NFC South, top to bottom, is maybe the second worst division in football. Yep. So I think you've got the two worst divisions playing each other. I think there's enough wins from playing just in those two divisions for Tennessee to sneak in there with 11 wins and make the playoffs as the last spot.
Wow, that's a good call. That's a gutsy call. You're the only one with two, but I will tell you that your logic is very sound. They are playing a lot of games against some teams that are just not that good, so it's a good way to go. I actually have Tennessee winning nine, but not getting in. But, yeah, that's a good call, Kev. All right, AFC West. Kev, you want to start the AFC West?
Sure. I still think, you still got the best player in football and Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback there in Kansas City. I wouldn't be too worried. The receivers dropped so many passes on Thursday night. You feel like, Kadarius Toney and them, they'll hang on to the ball most of the year. Travis Kelce was missing. So, you can't go overboard week one. I mean, everybody overreacts to week one. I still think Kansas City is still the class in the division. The Chargers are going to put up points. The question for them is going to be defense, but I think the Chargers' offense is so talented. With Herbert, with the receivers they have, with Eckler in the backfield, they're loaded on offense. They'll be fine over the course of the season. Denver, with Peyton calling the plays, I think they'll definitely be an improvement over last year. Not enough to make the playoffs. And the Raiders are, much like the Patriots, I think, very good teams who are going to be finishing in the last place. Through no fault of their own, necessarily. They're just playing in terrific divisions. I mean, if Vegas goes 8-9, they could be a very good 8-9 team. That if they were playing, especially in the NFC somewhere, could easily be 10-7.
You touched on it in the open. The AFC is very loaded, top to bottom. There's a lot of good teams in the AFC that are not going to make the playoffs. That if they were in the NFC, would get in with no problem. And that whole AFC West. If one or two of those teams don't, get in, or two or three of those teams have good years, if they were in one of those NFC divisions, they actually may get in. But in this loaded AFC, a lot of them just aren't going to get in. Go ahead, Jeff.
I wrote in my notes here, looking at it, I said, except for Houston and Indy, you can make a case, best case scenario, for any of the other 14 teams in the conference to make the playoffs as their best case scenario. I think there's only two that have no chance, and that's Indy and Houston. The other teams need the breaks to go their way, but you can make a case. You can make an argument for any of the 14 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Darren, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to be a little bit against the conventional wisdom. I think the Chargers, and you all know how I feel about Staley as a coach, but I think the Chargers are going to find a way to take this division. I just think they're going to be a little hungry. I think that the O-line's fine. Herbert with Eckler, Mike Williams, Gerald Everett. I mean, there's some good players on that team. It's all going to come down to the health of the defense with Bosa, Mack, Kendricks, and Derwin James. If they could all play, I think the Chargers are the winner. The Chiefs did sign Chris Jones today, as you pointed out. You said there was a big signing today. That's a big difference. Kev, when you alluded to the other day with the Chiefs losing, when Kelce and Jones are both out, it's a little different than a lot of other players, because these are players that are going to get double teamed every single time that they are on the field. So it's a totally different animal, and you know, Detroit was able to tee off in a different way. Kansas City will still be good. They don't have no dominant wide receivers, but they have good players. Kelce, as long as he gets healthy, still a game changer. And this is the best defense the Chiefs have had since Mahomes has been there. If Jones is playing, this is the best defense. Denver, we just don't know how the Peyton-Wilson marriage will be. Javonte Williams, is he healthy? Is he healthy enough to go a full season after coming off his injuries last year? Sutton, Judy, Mims, you know, they're okay at receiver. The line is not good. Defense adds Frank Clark. I mean, you know, Surtain and Simmons are good. Jules, a tackling machine. Denver's going to be okay. I just think they'll come up short. And the Raiders have so much turmoil already, with Chandler Jones and all this other stuff. Max Crosby's probably the best player. Jacobs is really good the other way. The only wild card with the Raiders, when you look at them, is that Garoppolo wins everywhere he goes. He just does.
Yeah.
He finds a way. He's like Alex Smith. He finds a way to win. What were you saying, Kev?
I think I saw the stat now. 41-17 now as a starting
quarterback. Yeah, I mean, he just finds a way to win. Like I mean.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It really is. No matter where he goes, he just finds the ways to win. I just think
I have the Chargers and the Chiefs both making it, though. Just to answer your question, Chargers and Chiefs making it.
I just think Garoppolo is in the division and the conference is just so hard. I think it's going to be very difficult for Las Vegas to get in. So, Darren, you had the Chargers winning and Kansas City getting in?
Yep, I had the Chargers winning and the Chiefs getting in.
And, Kev, you had Kansas City division and the Chargers getting in?
Chiefs. Correct. Yep.
Okay. So just to go through this, we all have Cincinnati, Jacksonville. We all have Kansas City getting in. We all have the Jets getting in. Darren's got Miami winning. I have them getting in a wild card. Darren's got Baltimore. That's the one. And Kev's got Tennessee. And that seems like the two outliers in this group. But I have Cleveland. That's my outlier. Title game. AFC title game, guys. What do you think? I'm going Cincinnati, Buffalo.
I guess Cincy and KC.
I also have Cincy and KC.
I'm going Cincy and KC.
I have Cincy and KC also with Cincy winning it.
I have Cincy winning it too.
Freaking Kevin, you're killing me.
Right, so we all know that won't hit, but thank you very much for your pick.
Do you have Cincinnati also winning it, G?
I do not. I have Buffalo.
Okay.
I think everybody is so off Buffalo this year that Buffalo may have a chance.
Good enough. All right,
we're going to head over to the NFC. The Giants did not make a lot of changes. They made some changes, but the big thing was they gave a huge contract to Daniel Jones. Barkley, they had tagged Barkley. He's now on a one-year contract. Year two for Dable. We'll see what happens with him. Giants are going to play in a tough division. The Giants, although the conference isn't great, the division they're in is really tough. I think they're going to have a hard time this year. I think they won a lot of close games last year. Sometimes breaks just don't go your way 2 years in a row. I think the Giants are in for a long kind of year in that division. I actually have them winning 9 games, but coming in fourth. I have Philadelphia winning the division, Dallas getting a wild card, Washington coming in third, and the Giants in fourth. Darren, we'll go to you this time.
I think, again, last year we thought the AFC West was going to be the best division and both the Broncos and the Raiders really struggled. This year, the NFC East or the AFC East will be the best division, and in our opinion. And one of them could fizzle out. We have no idea which one it will be. To me, the Giants, you know, the big signing was Waller. The O-line seems like it's improving. The defense is really solid up front, but they have two rookies playing cornerback. That's a question. I mean, that's a tough thing to do in the NFL, but the Chiefs did it, and they got away with it for the most part. Two of their three starting cornerbacks last year were rookies, and they got away with it. But they have Patrick Mahomes, and the Giants have Daniel Jones. I'm not trying to insult Daniel Jones, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. I could say that about almost any quarterback. I think that overall, though, I think the team is solid. The one thing I find interesting is Giant fans are already talking about Daboll like he's the greatest coach of all time. I mean, you know, listen, they beat up the bad teams. They struggled against the good teams last year. They won a good road game in the playoffs at Minnesota against a team that was 11-0 in one-score games, which does not happen very often. They played a lot of close games. They were actually outscored during the season, despite having such a strong record. So I think the Giant fans were a little excited about Daboll. Let's see what he does with this team. They did not have a great week one. We'll get more into that. I think the Giants are a playoff team, though. I'm going to keep them in the playoffs. Kev?
Who do you have?
Yeah, the Giants. The Waller signing.
We'll just finish the Giants, then we'll go around.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Kev. I'm in pretty much the same boat as you, Darren. I thought the Darren Waller signing was huge for the Giants. He gives Jones that safety valve that he's been lacking. I personally love the pick in the third round with Hyatt. I think he can bring the dimension to the receiving team that they did not have last year. Barkley, you know, fully healthy. He's got, you know, he's back with another contract. He'll be playing for another contract after this year. So, you know, he's going to be primed to have a big year. Like you said, the improving offensive line, the defense is solid. Yeah, you're worried about the young secondary, like you said. But I think the Giants overall are a very solid team. And like you said, that NFC East is very tough. But I think a little preview of the NFC East does get three teams into the playoffs. And I think the Giants being one of them.
Okay.
Gina?
Well, I've told you what I thought. I think Philadelphia wins. I think Dallas is a wild card. And that's where I stop. I only have two teams from the NFC East getting in.
I have Philly winning it. I have Dallas and the Giants both getting in as wild cards, Washington being the outlier.
I have Philly winning it. I've got the Giants and then Dallas as wild cards. And okay. Washington, you know, a very good fourth-place team, but on the outside looking in.
I have Washington and the Giants finishing with the same record, but Washington getting the third place finish via double tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker,
of course you do.
It had to go to the second tiebreaker scenario for conference record, but they wind up getting the third place finish.
Strength of schedule, point differential, one of those.
That's right. We'll move to the AFC North.
NFC North.
NFC North, excuse me. I have the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions at 9-8. I have Minnesota at 8 wins, and I have the Green Bay Packers at 6 wins. Not looking so hot after yesterday's win, but we'll get more to that during the week. I think Fields is going to have a good year. Besides what we saw yesterday, I think this is a big year for Fields. I think Chicago is going to be good. Detroit's an up-and-coming team. I think we saw that. They're on their way. Are they one of the top teams? I'm not sure if they're the top team yet. I definitely think that they'll be over 500. They'll be in the playoffs. I have Chicago winning this division. I have Detroit getting a wild card. Kev?
Wow, I agree with you on the Detroit thinking that they are up and coming. They've got the weapons both in the backfield and at wide receiver. Jared Goff definitely made strides last year after looking like he might flame out of the league with the Rams. I think Detroit wins this division more by default than anything else. It's not a very strong division overall. It's not a very strong conference overall. I've got them, though, over Minnesota. I think Minnesota, even though they lost Cook, you know, Cousins is still good enough to get you regular season wins. You don't want him in the clutch, you know, coming to playoff time or anything else. You've seen that he doesn't quite do enough to get you over the hump, but I think he's got enough to get them 9 or 10 wins, which I think is enough to make the playoffs in the NFC. I agree with you. I think Fields is going to make improvements this year, but I think they're still only the third best team, and I still wasn't sold yet on Jordan Love replacing Rodgers. I've got Green Bay bringing up the rear there. So, again, I've got Detroit winning it, Minnesota making the playoffs as a wild card, Chicago and Green Bay.
Okay, Darren?
So I have Detroit winning it also. I think the weapons with St. Brown and Marvin Jones, LaPorta, Gibbs, Montgomery, I like this team. O-line, I mean, it looked all right in week one. I don't think they're strong up the middle, though. I think the tackles are good. I'm not sold on the guards. I think that if Chris Jones was playing, it was a different game for them. Defense is improving, but there's still a little bit of work to do on that team. But they get a pass rush. Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a stud. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think Detroit wins this division. I think Minnesota is the second team. I don't have them making the playoffs, though. But I think Minnesota's still solid. The Cousins-Jefferson dynamic is still, really, really strong. It's going to be tough to stop. Madison takes over in the backfield. They were great in close games last year. There's no way that continues. Danielle Hunter still gets pressure. I think that they have enough to be competitive. I put Green Bay third. I think the Jordan Love era is on the way. I like their backfield still. Still the same guys with Jones and Dillon. And the young receivers get another year to be more confident, maybe a little less nervous as they were with Rodgers. I think the defense is pretty good in Green Bay. And I have Chicago finishing last. I think the love affair with Justin Fields is great. You think he runs like a deer, and I don't think he can complete passes very well. So I don't like quarterbacks that can't throw much. I mean, he's got Claypool, he's got Mooney, he's got DJ Moore. I don't think he used them at all in week one. The defense hasn't gotten Ngakoue and Tremaine Edmonds, which is nice. I just don't think that – I think this division is lackluster at best. I think just Detroit makes the playoffs, and I think the other three teams are home in January.
Okay. All right, we will move to the NFC South. Darren, you want to start the NFC South?
Sure. This is another one of those divisions that's hard to really think highly of. To me, the Saints are the cream of the crop. Derek Carr running the show. When Kamara comes back, him and Jamal Williams make a nice backfield. Wide receiver, they're banking on a guy that hasn't played in a couple of years. And Thomas coming back. The D line has some new faces. Demario Davis and Teron Matthew are still there. Marshawn Lattimore is a good shutdown corner. I think overall the Saints probably have the most talent. I'm going to give them the nod. I picked the Falcons for second, but I only have one team making the playoffs in this division as well. I don't think Ritter's really that good, but the Robinson pick Drake London combination I think is okay, and I think the O line is pretty good. So I like them. The defense adds Calais Campbell as a veteran, Jesse Bates, Bud Dupree to join Grady Jarrett. I think that that'll be enough to make the defense pretty good. Tampa goes with Baker. It's almost like, there's a lot of stuff that to not like about Tampa. I'm not saying anything against Rashad White. I think he'll be fine. But Evans looks like he wants to move on. The O-line with Jensen, maybe his career over, is not great. The defense is solid with Devin White and Shaq Barrett and Vita Vea and Levante David and Winfield, but it's not spectacular. I think the offense makes too many errors. I think they finished third. Carolina, we got the Bryce Young era. Miles Sanders takes over at running back. Again, not a good old line. Not great receivers. Thielen comes over to help out. Defense still has Burns and Thompson and Luvu to rush the quarterback, and J.C. Horn is nice player. I just think Carolina's got some growing pains, so we got to see what happens there.
Okay.
So I have just one team making it, just the Saints.
Okay. Kev?
Yep, I think I can press repeat based on what Darren had just said. I agree with him. The Saints just seem to have more talent than anybody else in the division. Derek Carr is a big addition there, a quarterback. Tampa, when Baker Mayfield is probably the second best quarterback in the division, that just shows you the quarterback depth there. Atlanta, not sold on Ritter either. Carolina, we'll see what Bryce Young can do as a rookie. Carolina's doing the right thing, getting them playing time right away. They're not a good team anyway, so might as well get him his experience now. I've got the Saints winning it. Tampa, Atlanta, Carolina in that order, and the Saints being the only one to make the playoffs.
Okay. I also have the Saints. I agree a lot with what you guys said. I have Atlanta 2, Tampa Bay 3, Carolina 4, and New Orleans is the only one I have with 9 wins. Everybody else is below that. How long, if Ritter doesn't play so hot through 3 or 4 weeks, do they go to Heinicke? Do they dare make a change?
They could. I mean, it's not like – I don't think they see Ritter as the future. I think that they see Ritter as a stopgap to the next quarterback that they get. I don't think that they're sitting there saying, wow, we're going to build around Ritter. They showed that they weren't. They're going to run the ball, have Ritter do as little as possible. I don't think it matters if it's Heinicke or Ritter. If they need a spark, I think they make the move. Kev?
Yeah, I agree there.
Okay.
Depends on how they feel the season's going. If Ritter just looks awful, then you make the move. If Ritter's playing okay and they're not winning games, but he's playing okay, I think you stick with Ritter, get him the game experience, see if he can at least be a decent backup quarterback for you.
Yeah, I think depending on how the season goes will depend on if they make a change. I think through, let's say through 4 or 5 games, if they think they're a good team and they're just lacking play out of the quarterback, I think they may go to Heinicke. If they look like they're not going to be a good team, you know, they're 1-4 or 2-3, something like that, 2-4 after 6 weeks, maybe, you know, maybe they just leave Ritter in, see if, you know, let's see what we can get out of him. If he is the quarterback of the future or not, they got enough young playmakers around. I just feel like it's a shame that between Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson and, listen, Tyler Algiers is a good back. You know, you also got Cordarrelle. I think Cordarrelle is going to wind up getting traded. By the way, I have a feeling he's going somewhere else. But they have too many young players that are offensive weapons on this team. And if Ritter is not going to be able to get the ball to these guys, then I think you're going to have to make a change, Darren.
I mean, the only thing I was going to make a point on with this team. Again, if they're hanging around and they're in the hunt and they need a little bit of a spark, Heinicke is the kind of guy that can do that. Heinicke's not your full season guy. I mean, to me, Sam Howell is Heinicke on steroids, kind of similar build, similar player, but with a better arm. Heinicke doesn't have this arm strength, but he knows when to release the ball. He can scramble and make things happen. Ritter's still kind of young, trying to figure it out. I think the Falcons have a good offensive line. And what Kevin said about the AFC is very true about the NFC in the opposite way. There's not that many strong teams in the conference. So a lot of teams can hang around in a playoff race, even though they're not strong. 8 and 9 might get a spot in this playoff on the NFC. You don't have to be great to get in. I mean, the NFC East is going to beat each other up. You know, I mean, We all talked about what we thought about the North and the South, where Lions were lukewarm and you like the Bears, and the Saints we all liked, but just by default. And when we get to the West, I think, you know, I'm going to go on a limb and say we all like San Francisco. I'm sure I'm on this crazy limb with that one.
You can move right into it. San Francisco, definitely in the West. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, so the point is that, you know, the Falcons might be in this playoff race longer than people think, just because, you know, they get good defense and good O-line play.
Agreed.
And let's go to the San Francisco. This is probably the most solid team in the NFC to me. The big question is going to be if Purdy's for real. Week 1, he looked like he was for real. But, I mean, is he really going to be able to do this? Ayuk seems to be emerging big time. They have the running back depth. They have the tight end. If Kittle can ever stay healthy, he'd really be dangerous. Samuel can do everything. The O-line is good. The defense is excellent. There's a lot of things to like about San Francisco. I just think they're solid all around. The Rams, they're a question mark, right? Is Stafford going to be healthy all year? Will Kupp come back? Is Akers the real deal playing a full season? I mean, Van Jefferson's right. He's fine. He's all right. Aaron Donald's still dominant. But how good is the defense going to be with what they have going on? Seattle was last year a fluke for Geno. Strong receiver core. The running backs are good with Walker and Charbonnet. O-line is pretty solid, but they got an injury yesterday that we'll get into more later on in the week. Defense has some players. Bobby Wagner back. Wooten was great as a rookie. Will Jamal Adams ever play? The gift that keeps on giving, the Jamal Adams trade. And then you got Arizona, who's tanking for Caleb, and they're pretty blatant about it. Starting Josh Dobbs, who was there about 2 weeks. They give him the nod. They Connor and Hollywood Brown, you feel bad for those guys because they're actually pretty decent. Rondale Moore's a nice player. Defensively, Buda Baker and Zevon Collins are really good. It's a good but not great defense. Kazir White is pretty solid as well. I mean, to me, this division is San Francisco wins it. I have the Rams getting into the playoffs as the 2. Seattle 3, Arizona 4. So that's where I go in the NFC West. Kev, you took the freaking Rams, didn't you, you bastard?
I kept them out, but the same exact order as you do. I just have the Rams missing the playoffs. They're to me, the 8th team. But, same exact order. San Fran, not only is a quarterback on a rookie contract, it's a 7th-round rookie contract.
Exactly. So
they've got all sorts of cap room. That's why their team can be as loaded and stacked as
they re-signed Bosa for all that money last week,
Yeah. I mean, every level they look solid. They've got weapons galore. Like I said, Ayuk is emerging before our eyes as one of the top receivers in the game. Kittle, Samuel, McCaffrey, Mitchell, on and on. This team has got depth everywhere. They're just the best, to me, the most well-rounded team in the NFC, like you said. I think they're the favorites to win the NFC. I like the Rams better. I think Stafford being back healthy, even if he doesn't get along with his young teammates, according to his wife, I think the Rams are still the second best team in this division. I'm not sold on Geno. I still think last year was a bit of a fluke year for Geno. We knew him from watching him in West Virginia. He was not that good in West Virginia.
The first quarterback drafted that year.
We won't even talk about his Jet career. And Arizona is, like you said, tanking for Caleb.
Okay, in the West, I have San Francisco also winning, big shock. I actually have Seattle getting in. And much like you said with Atlanta, I think they're going to find their way in as the 7. It's going to be a little chaos. There's going to be a lot of teams that aren't that good, but they're good enough. And I think Seattle's the one that's going to find themselves in. So they're my 7th team. I will tell you, I have San Francisco in the finals here against Philadelphia. And I have San Francisco going to the Super Bowl. I think they're locked and loaded right now, and the addition of McCaffrey last year just puts this team way over the top. Purdy, as long as he's healthy, this team is going to be really good for a while. Kev, who do you have in the title game?
In a change of pace, I've got San Fran and Philly in the title game and San Fran going to the Super Bowl.
In a real curveball, I have San Fran, Philly in the title game and San Francisco going to the Super Bowl. So Kevin and I have San Francisco versus Cincinnati. Geno and San Francisco, Buffalo. Now let's see the run for the money, Geno. Who wins the Super Bowl?
San Francisco over Buffalo.
Kev?
San Francisco over Cincinnati, like they seem to do every time.
Cincinnati over San Francisco.
All right.
To you guys, I think Burrow's going to have a game. I have no idea why.
You have Cincinnati winning. Kevin and I have San Francisco winning.
Yep.
Unbelievably, you and Kev have the exact same title games and Super Bowl, only with a different Super Bowl winner.
We did not speak before this, but we've been watching football together, all three of us, for so many years that
we all think alike.
Probably just kind of come right to each other.
Oh, listen, the other thing is, I mean, let's be honest, we're not picking, we're not going way out on a limb because these are all teams that are going to probably win 11, 12 games. So we're not going way off the mark here.
Go Titans. That's my team.
That's a good
and I have
pick,
the Rams. Man. The Rams and the my 7 teams are the 7 seeds are the Rams and the Ravens. What are your 2, Kev? What were your 7s?
The Vikings and the Titans.
And Gino?
Cleveland and Seattle.
Okay. So we all have different 7s. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah.
And you have the Bears winning the division. I have the Dolphins winning the division. That's kind of where we differ a little bit too.
All right. Before we get to over-unders.
Surprisingly, Kev went chalk. That never happens.
I know.
Before we get to over-unders, I sent you guys some MVP bets for the year. Do you have any favorites you like?
Well, I picked Cincinnati to win the Super Bowl, so Burrow's my guy. I'm going to stick with him.
And Burrow is right now at plus 750.
I think Patrick Mahomes can win the MVP every year, but I think the voters won't give it to him every year. You know, one of those types of situations. So I had two names there. My favorite to win it was Burrow at plus 750 as well. But I was also going to take a shot with Christian McCaffrey. Might as well pick a 49er. I don't think
I have him in my top three also, Kev.
So I would go.
I have Burrow, Rodgers, and McCaffrey in my top three. So I'm similar to you.
Do we keep Rodgers in there now?
I can't. I have to go by what I picked in the beginning.
I know.
I can't change it. But the X-ray says that it's negative. The X-ray came back negative. Yeah, that's a good sign. We'll see him in week 5 in Denver. It'll be great.
So, Kev, are you going different and going McCaffrey?
Sure.
Plus 8,000 right now? Plus
8,000, yep.
Kev, put $10 on it.
That'd be a nice little hit there, wouldn't it?
It wouldn't suck, as they say.
All right.
$800 doesn't suck.
It now brings us to the time for over-under.
No. What are yours, Kev? Jay, you didn't give me yours.
Oh, I'm going Josh Allen.
Okay.
At plus 850. Plus 850. Okay. I like that.
Good.
The one that I really thought was out there, which could happen if he takes the next step, is Josh Lawrence at plus 1500. I'm sorry, Trevor Lawrence. Excuse me, Josh Lawrence. Wow.
Josh Lawrence is plus a billion.
Trevor Lawrence at plus 1500. I need to adjust my glasses here. All right, so it is time for over-unders. We will go round robin around the horn. You can only take one team. If somebody takes that team, you cannot take that team. I have flipped coins beforehand, and Kevin won the flip. Darren, you are 2, and I am 3. I'm glad I flipped the coin, but that is the order that it came out. Kev, and if someone takes a team and goes over or under, you can't take the team even if you're going the opposite way. So, got to be 9 different teams in total. Kev, start us off.
Well, going by our previews, the one team that I'm a little higher on than everybody else, I think, because we're going to get some easy wins, I'm going to go Titans over 7.5.
Ooh. Okay.
Darren is going to take Miami over 9.5.
Miami over 9.5. Whew. Man, some good ones to start. I'm going to take an under, only because I just don't think they're going to be this good. I'm taking the under on Carolina. It's 7.5, and I don't think they're even coming close to that. So I'm taking under 7.5.
All right, Kev.
I'm with you on the under there of a bad team. I don't like Richardson. I don't like his accuracy coming out of Florida. I'm going under on Indy, under 6.5.
Ooh.
Darren is also going under here. I'm taking the Bears under 7.5.
Ooh.
Wow.
I picked him to finish last in a bad division.
So I picked this team to actually have, I think, 11 wins, get the second wild card in the AFC North. I'm taking Cleveland over 9.5. Kev, we are back to you, sir.
And my third team, I have them making the playoffs. I have them over 500. The over-under is only 7.5, which I thought was low. Despite what we saw last night, I'm going to take the Giants over 7.5.
You just made it easy. I was between 2, so now I can only pick 1. I picked this team to make the playoffs. I'm taking the Rams over 6.5.
Okay, and I'm down to my last team. I am going to take, man, Darren, you took Chicago going under. I was actually thinking about taking Chicago going over the 7.5. Kind of threw me for a loop. Didn't know you were going to go there. I'm going to.
You can take them over.
Nope. If you
don't make the rules, we're not changing them.
Can't take the two. I'm going to take Dallas over 9.5. I think they're going to run through a lot of this league. I don't think the NFC is very good. So I'm taking them to go that way. Some over unders here that I hope we actually get a couple of these. I will tell you, and Darren wanted me to just bring it up on the podcast, in doing my over unders, I basically calculated the record for every team and made sure I had 272 wins and 272 losses, just so that I knew I was coming up with a balance. And I wasn't predicting too many wins or losses, and I wasn't predicting too many teams to go over or too many teams to go under. When I first did this, the first draft, I was off by like 12, so there was some adjusting to do to move these teams up and down to get there, but I got there. Guys, any other football points you want to bring up before we close out the football preview show?
I mean, for me, I'm just pumped that it's back. I didn't get to see a ton yesterday. I was away this weekend, but looking forward to watching games going forward. Obviously, you know, a little down on where the Jets are at this very moment, but to hear that Rodgers has, the x-rays came back negative is a nice sign. Down 13-3 at the half. We'll see what happens there. But overall, I'm just really pumped to get to watch football, college and pro. It's a nice part of my weekend that I enjoy. So looking forward to catching it. Any other thoughts for you guys?
I was thrilled. And I think the power of the NFL resolving the Disney Spectrum issue, I think the NFL had a huge role in this.
I'm sure they did.
They did not want to not have the ratings from a New York market for this game. That affects their bottom line with advertising and everything else. So I think they were instrumental in getting this deal done between Spectrum and Disney. And let me watch all four plays of Aaron Rodgers' Jet career.
Very exciting.
So far. So
X-rays
far.
Are negative. X-rays are negative.
So far. All right.
All right. Anything else, Jake?
I think that's a wrap.
Once again, we are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Gino, here with Kevin, talking about the wonderful world of sports. Today was the NFL preview issue. If you have any comments, questions, cries of hysteria, please share them with us. We can't wait to hear about it. We'll be posting a lot more on Facebook as we go through college and pro football. Lots of different questions posed to you guys. Answer them, like them, tell me I'm an idiot. Whatever it is that you like, please do so. Catch our podcast anywhere you can get a podcast, download it, you know, whether it be an Apple product or Spotify or TuneIn or any of the others. And, you know, just enjoy. Tell us what you want to hear more of. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.